prolonging a stay in Europe to benefit domestic ambitions. It can only be football, only better.
I'm a special one.
I'm talking about facts.
I tell to them, Billy Dim, Billy Don, when they are sleeping.
I'm not a dreamer, I'm football romantic.
This isn't just football. It's football, only better.
We have European adventures aplenty and plenty more besides, including a trip to the Championship, which is only because, Jake Oscar-Thorpe, you think your side, Sheffield Wednesday, might have a chance against Leeds this weekend.
No, I don't.
No chance given. No chances for our Championship expert, Kev Hatchard. Actually, I mean, we'll throw this out there. I don't know where I'm throwing it. You do enjoy the Championship, but you want to focus on slightly different matters this week.
Yeah, further afield, the glamour and glitz of the Champions League. What I'd like to have a look at and see where the odds have changed. I think there's some quite intriguing things in the market.
I was just done on where you wanted to go.
Oh, fair enough.
Fine by me. Mark O'Hare, who is the brains behind the brawn that sits this side of the desk, our betting expert. Anything you'd like to report?
Not really.
Good. And a happy birthday to Jake. Right, let's get off to a flyer, as most of the English teams did in Europe this week, Kev. You can now talk about it.
Good. So, you're going to let me now? Yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah, they did. Manchester City were excellent against Atalanta once they'd recovered from going a goal behind. I think we saw that vulnerability they have at centre-back. I know Pep's great dream is to make Rodri and Fernandinho into this incredible centre-back combo, but Fernandinho looked very clumsy in making the challenge on Ilicic that gave away the penalty. But the way they reacted was sensational. And Raheem Sterling, again, showing how good he is, how sharp he is right now with that second-half hat-trick. Sergio Aguero with a couple of goals and his 100th European appearance, and they look great. I still think they're too short in the outrights. They are 4.2 favourites to win the Champions League. We can't really assess where they're at until we get to the back end of the competition. So I think in terms of value with the outrights, there are far better options. I've said from the get-go, I think Barcelona are going to go very, very close to winning it, and they're 8.2 on the exchange to win the tournament. And Juventus, I find it amazing that they're 14 on the exchange to win the tournament, because they're winning games without playing particularly well. Maurizio Sarri is trying to get his ideas across. If they click in the second half of the season, they're going to take some stopping.
I love the fact that you've gone with Manchester City, which is just expected, right? But clearly everyone else wants to celebrate Chelsea this week, unless you're a West Ham fan. Chelsea was the most exciting performance, wasn't it? Or most impressive result?
Yeah, they were excellent. They fully deserved the 3 points. Going to expected goals, limited Ajax, who are, you know, a vibrant attacking team, to just 0.45 XG, which is a really strong defensive display and not something that we've associated with Chelsea so far this season. You know, everyone's saying that they're quite vulnerable defensively, but the last two performances have been really solid. I think, what are the odds for Chelsea to win the Champions League?
So 36 right now, and I think that is a good outside bet.
Yeah, they look good. I'm also going to tip my hat to PSG. I thought they were fantastic over in Belgium. Kylian Mbappe was sensational. Hat-trick off the bench, which is not something you see very often, but they're 8.8. I think that's a really good price as well. From what I've seen, obviously we know the attacking power that they've got with Mbappe, Icardi, Cavani, Neymar, like the list goes on, but defensively they look so much more assured so far this season, and yet to concede a goal in this group stage, which I think is a huge positive.
Yeah, Mark, again, Chelsea, five under 21 Englishmen in there giving their Champions League debut. Would you like to celebrate them?
Absolutely not. I'm a Queen's Park Rangers fan, so it's the worst thing possible. Three teams that I sort of picked out, probably under the radar really. Dynamo Zagreb, really, really impressed with their attacking approach away at Shakhtar Donetsk. A game I watched because I had keen interest in Shakhtar in that match. It's obviously Man City's group as well, but Dani Olmo, the highly rated playmaker from Barcelona's youth system, was absolutely sensational. They're going to have a say in that group. You know, don't kind of write them off against City when City go to Zagreb either. Atletico against Leverkusen, Atletico just struggling for any sort of inspiration going forward, really laboured in that game for most of it, and João Felix is injured now as well, so there's issues there. And just pick on Barcelona, because I thought they were pretty sketchy at Slavia Prague. Away from home, I've still got many question marks over them. Conceding too many chances, really. And that group is really delicately balanced now. They've still got to go to Inter, I think, in that group. So plenty more still to come in that group, which is looking really exciting with Dortmund, of course.
Yeah, on the flip side of that, Dortmund very flat in their game at Inter. That was a real blow for them. They haven't been playing that well for quite some time. They won 1-0 against Gladbach last weekend in the league, were clinging on in that second half, truth be told. They've drawn the previous three games 2-2 in the Bundesliga. Lucien Favre, there's a lot of speculation about his role at the moment, the coach. A lot of scrutiny on him. He tried a 3-5-2 system that didn't really work. And I just think there is a flatness and an anxiety about them at the moment. They look a little nervous in defence, and in attack, they're not quite clicking. That said, Marco Reus was absent in Milan, and that's always going to be a big blow for them.
Mark, Kev, Jake, still can't find what I'm looking for when it comes to Chelsea, so we'll move on, shall we? Coming up next, we have a Champions League rematch to salivate over. This is Football Only Better. You're listening, or indeed watching, Football Only Better. A reminder, if you are listening to us and you are subscribing, thank you. But you can watch us on YouTube too, or vice versa, around the other way, and how's you go? Which is pretty much what you'll see when you look at Jake's T-shirt on YouTube. Anyway goes. Let's look at the Premier League this weekend and Sunday, the TV fixtures. Although we kick off on Friday night with Southampton, Leicester, it's all about Sunday, right? And the rematch in the Champions League. Liverpool, Tottenham Hotspur, Spurs, Liverpool, the Ox and co, and a bit of a fluky goal during the week. Spurs coming off the back of a good result in the Champions League, Jake.
Yeah, it was a good and much needed win for Spurs, but I wouldn't read anything into it at all. Nope. The team they were playing were dreadful. The Red Star, they play basically with two 11s, one that turns up at home and one that just disappears away from home. And in the previous four games to away in the Champions League before going to Spurs, they'd lost by an aggregate of 16-2. And the XG totals were pretty much identical to that. So allowing 16 expected goals in four away matches, that was just a formality, really. And this is going to be a much, much stiffer test for Tottenham this weekend.
Every time you think Tottenham have turned the corner, it proves not to be the case. I was amazed by how flat and poor they were against Watford. Obviously managed to drag a point out of that game in the end. But I just think the way Liverpool are playing at home, they're so full of goals. Sadio Mane, I think, is a really good bet to score at evens in this game. He scored in three of his last four in all competitions, but he scored four goals in his last three appearances at Anfield. He always gets chances in those home games. And I just think Spurs will struggle with his movement. Spurs have done okay in the last couple of trips to Anfield. They'll feel they're a bit unlucky to lose the last one with the winning goal coming right at the end. But I just think Liverpool are going to be too strong for them.
This one is Sunday 4:30. Is it best avoiding if you want to get anywhere near Spurs, Mark?
I think so, yeah. Spurs have proven now for not just the last few weeks or this season that they're struggling away from home, especially 8 defeats in the last 10 away in the Premier League. If you look at their last away game before the international break, they were absolutely blitzed by Brighton of all teams. So the underlying metrics are also pretty poor as well. They're returning negative supremacy figures for expected goals, XG from open play, shots in the box. Worrying times, really. And, you know, Kev's right to bring up the Watford game because that's more of a fairer reflection on where Spurs are at the moment than the Red Star game. Four wins from 13 across all competitions this season just isn't good enough. Something clearly is wrong behind the scenes. I'm not sure what it is, but I think it's very difficult to find a pro Spurs angle here. You know, if you look at the odds, especially compared to where they went to Anfield last year, they went off around 1.58 in this fixture last season. Liverpool went off about 1.58. Liverpool about 1.52, 1.53. So the market's saying Liverpool's chances aren't hugely better than they were last year, and I disagree with that.
If you look at the Liverpool over 2.5 goals double on the sportsbook, if you use the same game multi, you can get that for just shy of evens, 1.98. And that's paid out in all of their home games in all competitions this season. And I don't see why this is going to be any different, to be honest.
The plus point is, I guess, Spurs are probably good value to concede early, which is what they do of late, and which is what they did against Liverpool in the Champions League. That's what they need to stop.
It is, yeah, but I can't see it stopping in this game. I think defensively they've been They've been on a decline for a number of years now. You know, they obviously had the high in 17-18, and since then their expected goal process has just nosedived, really, to a point now where their expected goals against is actually greater than their expected goals for. And usually when you get a team with that sort of process, they are either mid-table in the Premier League or bottom half, and that's what Tottenham are performing like at the minute. They sit 11th in InfraGoals expected goals table. Going forward, they have struggled, and you know, if you take the Dele Alli goal away from the performance against Watford, their XG total was about 0.6, which is pathetic for a team that they were playing against bottom of the league, who were winless, you know, in Watford. So I'm taking a different angle. Obviously, I think Tottenham have, you know, not got much of a chance of getting a win here, but looking at both teams to score, no. I think Liverpool, the signs are that they're getting back to the best defensively. They held Leicester to 0.1 XG, which is a frighteningly good defensive performance. And then Manchester United, they held them to 0.9. And just the one big chance. So I think that they can contain Tottenham. I'm looking at both teams to score no, and that's about 2.38.
Is that dependent on what sort of midfield setup Liverpool go with? If you do bring Oxlade-Chamberlain, if he starts, saw him alongside Keita, and maybe that change in the midfield three?
Yeah, it does change that dynamic. The only concern I would have over Liverpool defensively, and we saw this in midweek, one of their greatest strengths can be a weakness sometimes, in the sense that the fullbacks are so high that it does leave that space in between. And we saw that with Genk, who are a decent team, but not a great team. And they created numerous chances getting down the flanks. So that would be my only concern with backing the no in the both teams to score.
Like, I think Arsenal tried to do something similar when they went to Anfield, and they got Pepe and Aubameyang playing as a front two and playing as like a wide front two, trying to get in between the gaps left by Trent and Robertson. And Liverpool dealt with it pretty well on that occasion.
Because it was Pepe.
Yes, probably because it was Pepe. But
Poor lad.
Yeah.
He's trying.
I think Spurs have obviously got better quality, like this, especially the backup. If you think Pepe's the backup to Aubameyang, you've got Son who's the backup to Kane, and I think that you make a valid point there. But I just feel like Tottenham are going to struggle to get out in this game. I think it's going to be penned in, and we saw from Tottenham against Brighton, one of the main things that was highlighted was how easy it was to pass through the lines and drive through the lines of Tottenham's midfield. And I think if he does bring in a Keita or a Chamberlain to the midfield, I think they'll have a field day driving forward and progressing the ball forward through what is a shaky Tottenham midfield.
Do you know why it's all going to be all right? Because my battle, I'm going to back Arsenal this weekend, which means all will be okay for Spurs. Are we done then with Liverpool-Tottenham? There's nothing else we can squeeze out of that for Spurs?
Not for Spurs.
No. Spurs' record under Pochettino away at the Big Six is poor. It's been poor for a long, long time. It's 7 defeats from the last 12 away at Big Six teams. In the same sample, Liverpool are unbeaten at home to Big Six, winning 7 of 11 at Anfield. I'm actually erring on the side of Kev here, Liverpool to win and over 2.5 goals. Around even money, you get Liverpool winning 3-0, 4-0 if they do blow Spurs away, but it also gets Spurs on side if they do grab a goal, which I think they are capable of doing. Liverpool have kept 2 clean sheets in Europe and in the Premier League, and as Kev says, against Genk, they looked pretty open when the counter-attack and transitions were on for the home team. So, yeah, I like Liverpool to win an over 2.5.
Yeah, I think you're not alone.
While we're talking about Liverpool, though, talk about that shirt. That is fantastic.
For the benefits much of those not currently watching this, would you like to explain?
It is a Roberto Firmino top, but he has his hand over his eye in memory of his goal celebration against PSG, I think, in the Champions League when he had picked up an eye injury in the game before.
Did you design it yourself?
No, I didn't. I got this online, and it's a wonderful piece of T-shirt making. I was going to do an advert then, but I'm not going
to,
because that wouldn't be allowed.
Whilst we're done with T-shirt chat, Newcastle United up against Wolverhampton Wanderers, 2:00, first telly game of the day on the Sunday on Sky Sports. This one, will we see any T-shirt? This is a really bad segue. Any T-shirts up over the head in celebration for Newcastle United this weekend?
We might do. I think, you know, they are 3 to win the game on the exchange. They are 2.09 draw no bet, which means if the game is drawn, you get your stake back. If they win, you win. They've beaten Tottenham and Manchester United this season. They're unbeaten in 3 at home. Obviously, Manchester United was so bad that we can't read too much into that win over them. Wolves won at Manchester City, but that was only their second win in the last 11 Premier League away games. They'll have had a tough game in midweek. Maybe they won massively well. Who knows? But they've had a midweek trip to Bratislava to deal with. So I think Newcastle would be the way I would be looking if I was going to look at the match odds market. I actually think, even though this is really skinny as a price, under 2.5 goals at 1.56. I can totally understand why. Wolves' last 7 games in all competitions, obviously discounting whatever happens in Bratislava, have featured fewer than 3 goals. All 4 home games for Newcastle have featured fewer than 3 goals. So even though it's only 1.56, I think that's the way I'd be heading.
I do kind of feel, Mark, though, that they're doing a bit of all Newcastle. They're just gradually getting better. And yet this Wolves side, we're just still waiting for them to recreate last season.
Yeah, I think it's difficult for Wolves with the extra commitments of Europe. They've only won once in 6 games after a Europa League tie so far this season.
Which was that against?
Manchester City.
Yeah.
It was, yes.
But if you're going to do it, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I think they're actually unsteady favourites for this match. I'm surprised they're out there favourites to win at St James's Park. Now, I know Newcastle have their issues, especially going forward, but they've had a very, very tough schedule this season. Mm. I think they've played nearly all the big 6 already, and they've come out with it with reasonable credit. Got the curious statistic of only 2 teams collecting fewer home points, but the best home defence in the league, which is quite surprising. Mm. But I just, you know, echo in what you're saying here and saying that it's going to be quite a dull game. There's not going to be too much goal mouth action. And I've gone for the 0-0 half-time correct score. Wolves have actually scored in the first half in just 2 of the last 12 Premier League games. Newcastle's matches are just dry of any sort of entertainment. So it's not one I'm going to be tuning in for.
Oh, well done for talking this one up.
Yeah, just a dull game, isn't it? Now, I'm looking at the 1x2, and I actually think Wolves are good value here. The Infocore model's got Wolves as strong favourites to win this game.
Have they balanced out their XGs yet? Because last season, they overplayed them, didn't they? And then this season, they've been underplayed.
Yeah, last season, they ranked as the 5th best team on XG over the course of the season. And so far this season, they're about mid-table. They're just starting to get going, and the performances are starting to pick up a little bit. But the main reason I'm looking at Wolves is because Newcastle are so bad. They rank as the worst team in the league on XG. They are the worst attacking team. They're averaging just 0.7 expected goals for per game, and that is 0.38 worse than the next worst. So they are just in a completely different league when it comes to being terrible in attack.
You do have to take into consideration the schedule and who they've had to play so far.
100%, but I'd put Wolves in the bracket of, like, if you look at last season's top 8, they've played 7 of them after this game, and Wolves are in last season's top 8. So I agree with that caveat, and I think that will come into play later on in the season when they've got a bit more of a better schedule. But I still think Wolves are one of the better teams in the league. The big one for me is that Wolves naturally play a 3 at the back or 5 at the back, and it's like they're like a well-oiled machine, whereas Newcastle have been sort of shoehorned into this sort of formation by Bruce, and he's got players playing a little bit out of position. And I think that Wolves' better understanding of the formation could pick holes in what Newcastle are doing. So I like Wolves to win this at 2.66.
That's got me leaning towards your draw. What was the one you said for the draw?
Mine was draw, no bet, which was basically you back Newcastle, but if it's a draw, you have your stake returned. So you could just go for the outright draw if you wanted.
Well, I did have draw, but draw, no bet, I like. Thank you. You can find out more at betting.betfair. These two, which is helpful because you don't know which two. Not you, Jake Oscarthorpe from InfoGoals, but Mark and Kev write plenty on betting.betfair.
Yeah, I do as well, you know.
And he's on it too.
Oh, he sounded really sad.
Well, yeah, very sad.
You've upset him now.
Yeah, but have you seen how badly he's doing in the battle? So I'm not suggesting we just steer clear.
Jake, I told you, I was giving you a head start.
Yeah, you're catching up. We'll get to the battle a bit later. Let's quickly run through the rest of Sunday's games then. Arsenal Crystal Palace at 4:30. And Norwich Manchester United at 4:30. Anywhere you look at 4:30, there's great games, which are probably making up for the fact that there's that one at 2 o'clock that's a stinker, according to Mark. Where do we want to go?
I'd like to cover both of them, really, but I'll let you go with Arsenal because you've got an interesting take on the Arsenal game.
Arsenal, I'm going to have a little look at later. I'm saving that one in my pocket. Okay. And might go towards the Newcastle draw. Do continue.
Okay. I think the game at the Emirates is a very interesting one. Obviously, we all watched Arsenal on Monday night, and they were... Well, it was the same old Arsenal, really. They were out 4.
Always cheating.
Not quite. They were out 4, out-battled. They just ran out of ideas. It was a tight game. I think there was one big chance each. Obviously, Pepe missed a... We had it down as a 71% chance, so that's you know, you can't afford to miss those in tight games. But over on the whole, their underlying numbers have been really, really poor this season. They're allowing nearly 1.7 expected goals against per game, which is... I guess expected when you've got a back 2 of David Luiz and Socrates. But the way I'm looking at this is Crystal Palace are usually at their best when they're playing away at a top six team, and they can counter-attack with the pace that they have. They went there last season and got a 3-2 win, and that wasn't a fluky 3-2 win. They deserved that, unexpected goals as well. So my recommendation for this one is just to back against Arsenal, just lay Arsenal. I think they're about 1.52 for the lay, or if you're betting on the sports book, Crystal Palace or the draw, at about 2.7.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think me and Mark both hammered Arsenal relentlessly in the last show ahead of that trip to Sheffield United.
I mentioned got hammered over the weekend as well from Arsenal fans.
But you were right. You were right.
I mean who would back Arsenal after you'd hammered them so much?
But it was the same old gutless fare, and we talk about this every week.
They did me up like a kipper.
Well, they did. But they've done, you know, Arsenal fans, I think, are getting very, very frustrated now, because what he hasn't been able to do, Unai Emery, is move the needle in terms of the club culture. Mm. That's the problem. So they're still making the same mistakes away from home. They're still losing games that they shouldn't be losing away from home. And you don't really see the roadmap. Some teams, you kind of... Brighton, for example, you kind of get what Graham Potter's trying to do. They keep finding spectacular new ways of losing. You kind of get the plan. With Arsenal, I don't see what the plan is, what the formation is, what the dynamic is. And so at home, where they've got very exciting attacking players, sometimes they can paper over those cracks. But away from home, that's where the cover comes off and you see all the horrible stuff underneath. And that's the problem right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a huge amount I can add to Arsenal. I would say this is the kind of moment when Arsenal do come to fruition, you know, at home to a bottom half team. They're normally quite efficient, get the job done. Palace are awkward, organised, play on the counter-attack, will aim to frustrate, sit deep. I don't think they've got the X factor they had the last year. I don't think Zaha's reached the same heights as he has. And the kind of talk about Palace against the Big Six team, it's kind of overblown a little bit. They have lost 17 of 23 games against the Big Six under Roy. But for me, crucially, only 8 of those were by 2 or more goals. And I think that's the angle for me. Arsenal haven't won by 2 or more goals yet this season. They're returning negative supremacy across all the major data metrics. And if you look at their home games, they've made really hard work of it against Villa, Burnley and Bournemouth. And if those three teams can go to Arsenal and stay within a goal, so can Palace. So Palace plus 1.5 on the Asian handicap, please.
My sharp intake of breath, my learned friend, was I've gone Arsenal and both teams to score. But I might swerve that and go Newcastle with the draw and no bet. It's right. I don't want to hear it now.
Okay.
It's fine.
I was going to back you up there, but
No, both ways you can. One other fixture, just briefly to talk about Norwich, Manchester United on the Sunday.
Well, Manchester United are odds on for this. I think 1.82. That's too short because they just don't win away from home. It doesn't matter what the competition is. Obviously, not. I'll look stupid now because they'll have won 4-0 at Partizan. But... you know, they have been so flat away from home. They were dreadful at Newcastle. Norwich have had a lot of injuries. They've looked naive defensively, but they raised their game so very well against Manchester City. If they can get anywhere near that level of performance, that should be enough to give United a problem. So I just don't think we can even remotely consider backing Manchester United to win at that price.
No, I completely agree, but I think everything is in Norwich's court here in terms of team news. He changed things at Bournemouth last week. He said he put in 3 central midfielders, said he wanted to be more solid, more control in the centre of the park. Norwich were the most threatening team of the two teams. They thwarted Bournemouth defensively, but they actually finished that game with 2 central midfielders at centre-half because Godfrey went off injured. They've already got closer, Zimmerman, Hanley missing as well. You know, there are square pegs in round holes, which is a concern. But I completely agree with Kev. There's no way I'm backing United at, you know, sub 1.9 away from home, whoever they're playing. You know, it's just not happening.
It is almost equally threadbare for both teams at the moment.
It is, yeah. I think this game will be as dull as the Newcastle Wolves game, to be honest. And I was really surprised when I saw the price of under 2.5 goals. It's 2.28. And I think that is just way too big. Like, you look at Manchester United, and I think barring the Chelsea 4-0 in the first game and Crystal Palace winning 2-1, all of the games have come under 2.5 goals. They're a team, they're the best defensive team in the league still, according to expected goals. And in attack, they're averaging just 1.12 non-penalty expected goals. So I can't see Norwich troubling Manchester United, but I can't see Manchester United troubling Norwich too much, even if they are playing players out of position and they're a little bit of a... you know, a mixed bag in terms of the team. So,
but Jay, do you think that's a reaction to apart from that Bournemouth game, how naive Norwich have looked defensively and the injury problems they've got.
Their home games have been absolutely nuts in terms of goals, haven't they?
Yeah, but who have they played at home? Like, obviously, we played Newcastle.
City, Newcastle, Villa.
Villa. They lost 5-1 to
Villa. Could argue that Manchester United are the worst attacking team of the three of those.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at United's last 21 games across all competitions, exclude penalties, they've scored 12 goals. Yeah. Three of those came against Chelsea when they were not the better team.
Yeah, so I'm more than happy to take the under 2.5 at a fairly big price.
That is your Sunday whizzed through then. And I say whizzed through because I think we've all had too much sugar celebrating Jake's birthday during the week, which means all of us should perhaps move on to Saturday. Going back in time, that's what's coming up next on Football Only Better. You're listening to or watching Football Only Better. Jake Oscarthorpe from InfoGoals and also betting.betfair. Thank you, Jake. Good mention. Well done. Kev Hanchard here and Mark O'Hare. Someone sitting in the corner rocking saying, 12 non-penalty goals, muttering under his breath over and over again. But that was the past. Now it's about looking to Saturday. Saturday and also a little bit of Sunday because we're going Premier League, Championship, Europe. This is your pocket guide to all things football and the best bets of the weekend, how they see it at least. Any of those you want to pick first? Let's start with the Premier League and then we'll move on to beyond and someone Sheffield Wednesday crying in the corner. Where do you want to go in the Premier League this weekend?
I think Manchester City, Aston Villa is interesting in the sense that obviously City are heavy, heavy favourites, 1.12 to win the game, Villa 29 and the draw is 12. But what I would like to focus on is both teams to score at 1.99 because both teams have scored in Villa's last five games. They've scored in games against both Arsenal and Spurs away from home. And I just think City still have that vulnerability.
Yeah.
And even though there are some players who are getting back from injury, it'll be interesting to see whether Pep actually... Pep, as if he's my mate. Pep Guardiola, thank you very much.
The big P.
The big P. PG. Whether he actually decides to... I mean, Rodri picked up an injury in midweek, so it'll be interesting to see whether he persists with Fernandinho in that position because I just think, you know, he's learning on the job and him being out of that midfield area makes them more vulnerable. Mm. So I do think the way Villa played against Brighton, the chances they created and the excellent goal they scored right at the end to win that match, I think there's some real quality there. So I actually think 1.99 might be the way to go. The other thing I want to look at is Raheem Sterling's form because he was sensational against Atalanta in the Champions League, got a hat-trick in the second half. He's 5-2 on the sportsbook to score two goals or more. He got that hat-trick on Tuesday, double for England in Bulgaria, hat-trick at West Ham on the opening day. And if you back Manchester City to win, Raheem Sterling to score an over 3.5 goals, you can get that on the same game multi at 2.14. And I can easily see all of those things happening.
I think he's going to nudge 40 goals this season. Anyway.
He's been terrific. The jump he has made from being somebody who had the skill set that we know he has to actually being really ruthless in front of goal has been remarkable to see. That was the piece that was missing.
Yeah.
He's got that now.
I'm going to be ruthless and say that one, Man City, Aston Villa is a 12:30 on the telly. I'm going to make you two steer away. Oh, he's got his hand up.
Go Burnley, on, Chelsea.
Really?
Yeah, because I think Chelsea are vulnerable here. Their odds on away from home. They've been gubbed by the schedule. I know Amsterdam's only an hour away from London, but they're playing Wednesday night in a tough game, which will have taken a lot out of them physically. They've got to go to Burnley on Saturday. Guardiola labelled it like a trip to the dentist last year when City went to Turf Moor, and he's not wrong. It's going to be tough.
But they're all about 12. They'll recover.
I'm not sure. I think that's a very tricky game. I just think from a betting perspective, they're odds on. It's not for me. You know, N'Golo Kante could be a doubt still. Christensen and Rudiger potentially missing again. So you're looking at a defensive partnership of Zouma and Tomori. I love Tomori to bits. Don't get me wrong, Zouma's an accident waiting to happen, and a midfield of Jorginho, Mount,
best
and Kovacic.
Player. Zouma was best player this week.
It's you know, they have made good strides going forward, especially in attacking sense, and defensively they are improving. But I think, you know, Burnley don't often get it right against the big six, but that is a banana skin for Chelsea.
I'll let you have that one. You can't have any Jake in the Premier League because I want you to go to the Championship. We've got three so-called derbies in the Championship this weekend. One including your team, Sheffield Wednesday, Leeds.
Yes, a big game that. You look at the table and, you know, if you look at the raw numbers and where people are on the table, what Sheffield Wednesday are third, which I think is a false position at this stage. So, but it's so tight it is at the minute, the Championship. I don't know if anyone tuned in to watch Sheffield Wednesday on Tuesday at home to Stoke, but if you did, it wasn't a very good watch. That's just Sheffield Wednesday at the moment. Under Gary Monk, he's come in, he's made us hard to beat. We don't create a lot of good chances, but we don't concede many either. But Leeds come to Hillsborough, and they are by far and away the best team in the Championship. I mean, their underlying numbers are absolutely out of this world compared to...
Aren't you doing better in the form table at the moment, though?
Yeah, we are, but a lot of those have been tight games that we've edged, and over the course of the season, you know, the results will start regressing back to what we'd be expecting. So most of those should have been draws. It should have been a draw against Stoke. Obviously, the goalkeeper made a great save from Lee Gregory's header. But Leeds are just... Their underlying numbers, like I said, are just incredible. Their expected goal difference after 13 games is 16.5, and that is 8.5 better than the second best team. So they are literally performing similar to last season. They were unfortunate not to go up last season, but I think it's going to be a really tight game. Gary Monk against one of his former teams, he won't want to lose this, especially not heavily. So I think under 1.5 goals at 3.5 is an interesting bet. And if I was going in the 1x2 market, sorry all Sheffield Wednesday fans, but I'm gonna have to back Leeds to get the win.
Is that what we call emotional hedging, which is why I'm backing Arsenal this weekend so that they lose and so Spurs do all right? No,
it's all logical from this side of the table.
Yeah. It pained him, though. Yes, anybody who's listening rather than watching, it
his
did
lips
pain
were pursed
him to say it.
As well.
If you want confidence, Leeds' inability to finish chances now since the start of January has proven them costly. Lost them promotion. They're, you know, conceding preventable goals as well defensively. They're not scoring enough from midfield. There's this big kind of conversation about Patrick Bamford and whether he should carry on playing. Bielsa's so stubborn, he does play because he fits the system better than Eddie Nketiah, but Nketiah came off the bench, scored the goal in midweek. So, you know, Leeds are suffering from a confidence or lack of confidence at the moment. So there is an opportunity there for Sheffield Wednesday, but I agree, opposed goals, because if you combine the two teams' records this season, 19 of 26 league games have featured under 2.5 goals. 10 of Leeds' 13 have gone under 2.5. And the two teams combined their average goals per game, 2.04. And under 2.5 is around 1.9. So
Jake bets against his team. Do you go against your lot, QPR Brentford? The proper derby that QPR fans don't see as the derby.
It's not really a derby for us. They're just a little team down the road. I think it's remarkable to see QPR in the top six at this stage of the season, considering the turnover that Mark Warburton had to oversee. As a fan, it's absolutely wonderful football. We're playing attacking. Sort of no holes barred defending, really, because no one's sitting and defending. It's brilliant. It's absolutely fantastic. We're in the top six with a zero goal difference.
And that works
to keep
at
a clean
Loftus
sheet.
Road, doesn't it? Right? When you've got the fans behind you and it's rocking, which it does. Nice, tight ground. Does that work away from home? I know you're at home.
Yeah, we've actually got a better away record this season than we have for quite some time. Putting some great performances. Two players to watch out for, Eberechi Eze and Elias Chair. Two youngsters have come through the system. Just wonderful footballers. The bet here for me is goals, but it's with a caveat of Brentford being much more pragmatic under Thomas Frank, playing away from home this season. For the last couple of years, they've kind of played with the handbrake off when going away. Frank's added much more sort of defensive steel to the team. They're not quite as gung-ho, and it is a reasonable concern if you're going to back goals, but I think QPR's attitude under Warburton is just to outscore the opposition. They're going to go for it. Their record this season, 10 of 13 have seen BTTS. 10 of 13 have gone over 2.5 goals. 6 of 13 over 3.5 goals. 3.54 goals per game average. It's hard to dismiss over 2.5 at around 1.75 with those sorts of statistics. I think Monday night is going to be really good for neutrals.
Do either of you want to talk, Mark, Jake, about Swansea-Cardiff and what has happened to Swansea since they were top, weren't they?
Yep.
End of August.
Once in seven since man of the month.
They were
in
a false position. So they were top of the table. They were ranked about 15th on XG. So they were winning games that they shouldn't have been winning. And over the course of the season, that does catch up with you. And that's what's happened.
And Cardiff stinking out at the moment. So where's the value in this one?
I've got goals down in this one. I think it could be quite an open game. Swansea do like to play on the front foot. They struggled to create many good chances against Brentford in midweek, but I think Cardiff are vulnerable. They're not the same sort of solid defensive team that we saw go up 2 years ago under Neil Warnock. They've conceded two against Millwall in midweek, and I think Swansea are a better attacking unit than Millwall. I just think this is going to be an entertaining game. I think this is going to be a good warm-up for the 2 o'clock Newcastle Wolves game.
Oh, how he laughed down the end. Right then, Championship for the moment done. Back into Europe. Where are you going this weekend, Kev?
Big game of the weekend in Germany is the Rhein Derby, Schalke and Borussia Dortmund. They hate each other, so that always gives you a very interesting backdrop to the game. And when I look at the odds, Dortmund are the 2.18 favourites on the exchange. That is way too short, given the way that they're playing. Because even though he kept a clean sheet against Borussia Mönchengladbach, even though they were able to resist some late pressure towards the end of that game, I still don't trust them defensively. I still don't think that Lucien Favre has got them clicking in the way that they did last season. And I think people looked at the back end of last season for Dortmund when they lost the title race to Bayern and thought, well, that's the pressure of the title race. They've just, you know, found that difficult to deal with. Maybe it's that. Once the season restarts, then they'll be fine. Actually, what we've seen is the continuation of all of their bad habits. And I think that's a big concern. And it's the first time, really, since he took over at the start of last season, where Lucien Favre is on the hot seat and people are really talking about, are the players responding? Do the players understand what he actually wants? And the pressure is bigger now because they made some really, really big signings in the summer. Mats Hummels came back. Julian Brandt went in there. Thorgan Hazard as well. And they don't look as impressive as they should do. It's not fatal because it's been such a crazy start to the Bundesliga season that they're not cut adrift. But they have to start winning games. I don't think that will start this weekend. Schalke have been much better than I expected them to be under David Wagner. Even in the game they lost last weekend at Hoffenheim when they lost 2-0, they weren't actually that bad. And I think they were a little unfortunate to come away with that from that with a defeat. Amin Arit has been outstanding. He's September's player of the month in the Bundesliga, attacking midfielder. Very elusive runner, very hard guy to contain. So I actually think with the crowd behind them, with the way that they approach these games, especially under David Wagner, I think you're looking at the double chance home and draw on the exchange at about 1.8.
So I just need to cross out. I've put Dortmund all day, but I'm just crossing
they're
that
also,
out.
They had to play an Inter Milan on Wednesday night as well, which is hardly a nice warm-up for a massive derby match on Saturday.
All right, I get the point. That was
and we don't know
wrong.
If Marco Reus will be fit because right. he was ill, so he might not be there either.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. No, it's interesting what you're saying there about Dortmund because throughout the majority of last season, when they were comfortably clear in the Bundesliga, they ranked as like the fourth best team on expected goals. So for us to see them dip off, it wasn't a massive surprise. We sort of expected it to come at some point. But then again, they've got Lucien Favre in charge, who's a perennial overperformer. He did it with Nice, and he did it with Dortmund for the most part. If they'd have won the Bundesliga last season, that would have just topped his career. But yeah, it was interesting.
If you're looking to scare people in the XG community, do you just whisper Lucien Favre out?
Exactly,
and that's
that.
Just the job, right?
There's a few people like that. Sean Dyche is another one. But yeah, I think this is going to be a tight game. Like Schalke have looked pretty solid so far this season, especially in the last six. They've allowed just over one expected goal against per game. So I think this can be a tight game, a cagey game, and similar to probably the Dortmund Gladbach one last week.
I'm now just thinking of an XG version of Halloween where you've got kind of Sean Dyche costumes and Lucien Favre.
Exactly what I've just written down. Halloween XG outfit. That's coming out. Roma, AC Milan, PSG, Marseille, Fiorentina, Lazio. You can pick some value from one of those. I'll allow you. Go, Mark.
I'll go Le Classique with PSG Marseille. I think PSG to win to nil. Odds against prices is the best bet of this European weekend. 10 of their 11 wins this season have come without conceding a goal. Defensively, they're giving up just a fraction of chances. Won 11 of the last 12 against top six teams. Marseille, very unimpressive last weekend at home to Strasbourg, who are missing two of their best defenders through suspension. Payet was suspended. He'll be back, but that was their first win in five. AVB really hasn't hit the ground running. Only three teams are averaging fewer shots in the box in France, and they've lost seven of the last eight at top six teams. So I think PSG will slice and dice them.
Quite fancy Roma to beat Milan. Roma 2.26 to get the win. I just think they're further along in their development under Paolo Fonseca, whereas Stefano Pioli has gone into Milan. There was a hashtag Pioli out before he even took the job. So I don't think Milan fans are particularly enamoured with his arrival. I think that's a bit harsh, but they drew 2-2 with Lecce in his first game. That was a dreadful result. And I just think they're all over the place. I think Pioli will stabilise them, and I think they will make some small steps forward, but it's going to take time.
Sideways step.
Yeah, I think it probably is. They've panicked. They brought in Marco Giampaolo, who was seen as a very progressive, possession-based coach. Brought him in from Sampdoria. He didn't go well in the first few games. They panicked in true Milan style, booted him. Pioli's come in. I just think they're a bit of a mess at the moment. And Roma at 2.26, I think, is the bet.
That's Sunday at 5. Jake?
Well, it leaves me with just Fiorentina Lazio to talk about.
Oh, you lucky goals. Boy.
Yes, yeah. Lucky boy. No, I agree with everything the guys have just said over there. Roma to win, that's what I've got now. I've got PSG to win to nil as well.
You're swerving Fiorentina.
No, right? I'm going for a home win. So three home wins across the board. Fiorentina are unbeaten in six. They sit fourth in our expected goals table, so we've been really impressed with them at the start of this season. They've been really solid defensively, just a 1.13 expected goals against. And, you know, they're a really exciting attacking team to watch. You've got Chiesa and Ribery who lead the line, and they're two dynamic, quick players that are both really skillful and can create a goal out of nothing. Lazio, obviously, they've got a tough game on Thursday at Celtic Park, travelling in the Europa League.
Side of the straight face.
Yes. I think it is going to be a tough game. I've not been impressed with Lazio. Obviously, I know you tipped up goals in the Lazio Atlanta game last week, which came in pretty comfortably. Yeah. So, but that second half performance will give them confidence. But then again, the first half performance was just dreadful. Like 3-0 down at halftime is just something that you won't recover from that every week. Let's just say that. So defensively, they look vulnerable. Yeah, and I really like Fiorentina to get the win. They're about 2.5, which I think is a good bit of value.
At Betfair to agree, disagree, or comment on anything you hear. Or indeed see during this. Have we had any rainbow time yet? Maybe it will come up next on Football Only Better. We are part of the Betfair stable, so you can listen to Racing Only Better, NFL Only Better, another of the London series games coming up this weekend. But we'll concentrate on the football coming up next. This is Football Only Better, and a few minutes just to talk about where we're putting our money, our charity bets, this weekend. Kev, where are you going?
I know you were worried that there wasn't going to be any rainbow time.
Oh, whoa. Go.
It's rainbow time.
There we go. Don't do that.
Why not? I know it upsets you, so yeah, that's why I do it.
It's a little bit cringy.
How dare you? Right. Cringy.
Yeah, it was
right,
a little bit.
Fine. It's Southampton Leicester.
All right.
And I think there'll be over 2.5 goals at 1.95. Seven of Southampton's last nine home games have featured at least three goals. Leicester's last five games in all competitions, seen in overs bet land. Both teams have got plenty of pace in attack. Also like the look of Jamie Vardy to score at 11-10. Six goals in his last seven Premier League games, scored against Burnley last weekend. But
can I say, I nearly injured him this week.
Go on.
I was walking through a door at Leicester. We were at the darts, and the darts were at Leicester. So we'd gone down to the ground to record something, some cheesy link on Champions League, and I walked through the door holding a tripod, and I turned round and banged someone, and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, and it was Jamie Vardy. He did an exaggerated hobble off. He wasn't hurt. I don't think I actually hurt him. I mean, I hope I didn't hurt him.
So Jamie Vardy's out for this weekend. So scratch that bet.
Yeah, no, he's fine.
But yeah, over 2.5 goals at 1.95.
Oh, good. I've got no story, clearly, for whatever you're about to, well,
you
to shout
do.
At
you
me.
Might
go
do.
On.
Fleetwood Town against MK Dons.
Oh, see, Fleetwood. I do have a Fleetwood story. Got locked in the radio booth at Fleetwood. Everyone had gone home because we were broadcasting late and we couldn't get out. That was it. I had to call up someone to come and get us out on the radio, live. That's it. I'm done. Carry on.
Well, Fleetwood lost midweek to Coventry, lost from a winning position. Really good in the first half. Should have had the game to bed by that time. But Joey Barton was very unimpressed with his team's second half performance. But they're back at home this weekend. Five wins from seven at home, generating some of the EFL's highest performance data figures so far. Full squad available as well. Scored at least twice, nine times in the league already this season. I expect them to make mincemeat of MK Dons, who are just trending downwards really badly. Quite sad to see, really. Paul Tisdale basically said he needs a complete reset of his team after the midweek loss to Rochdale, a really poor Rochdale team. They were dreadful at Coventry last weekend. 1 point from seven, failed to score in six of those. Lost 9 of 14 since promotion. Lost 5 of 6 away, failed to score two or more goals in 11 of those 14 games. So Fleetwood to win and MK Dons to score under 1.5 goals. Betfair Sportsbook, same game multi, 1.9, please.
Kev, you look like you want to say something.
I'm just really happy with this please that he's adding to the end of bets. It's making me very happy.
It's always good to be polite.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Good manners. I like it.
So I slightly skewed my story about Fleetwood. It wasn't actually me that got locked in. Okay. But, you know, maybe I can make something up for you, Jake. Where are you going?
Much more exotic than Fleetwood. Yeah, I'm going to Paris. The game that Mark mentioned earlier.
I've been to Paris.
Yeah, have you?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's nice.
Good story.
Yeah,
good story.
That's the end of it.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah, PSG Marseille. I'm not stealing your bet. I did have it written down as well. PSG win to nil. Their performance numbers are absolutely incredible. expected goal difference of 21.2 after 10 games, which is frightening. And that is 16.8 better than next best Lille, which is shows just the sort of stranglehold that they've got. And
Lille, did you say?
Yeah, Lille.
They're second in your table.
In the XG table, yeah.
They've been hopeless.
Yeah, they've put in some good performances at home. But yeah, it just shows you the gulf between PSG and the rest in that league. And Mauro Icardi's scoring goals, Kylian Mbappe's back to fitness, and he obviously got a quick hat-trick in midweek. Marseille, they've been really, like you mentioned, they've been really poor going forward all season long. So yeah, I'm taking PSG to win to nil. That's 11-10.
Jake actually won on the battle last week. I'm going to sound surprised. But you, Kev, did too. The rest of us, we lost. However, I'm so far ahead in the battle that I'm just going to do this. And wherever it lands. Oh, Newcastle draw, no bet. So I was going to go Arsenal win, both teams to score. But my pen has landed on Newcastle draw, no bet. So that's where I'm going this week. Just going to throw that caution
to the
wind. If you
win this week because of that, I'm retiring.
Are you? Is that a promise?
That's bold statement.
Yeah, I'd take that back if I were you. Probably won't win. Thank you, everyone that's been involved with the show so far at Betfair to be part of it. Any final words before you retire, Mark O'Hare?
Up the hoops.
Good. Kev?
Please.
Up the owls.
Well done, everyone. Please. We've got through another show. Remember to gamble responsibly. Thank you for your company. As always, we'll see you next time. Bye for now.